Here are a few factoids about plastics. First, plastic is linked to climate change. That's right, it's made with a byproduct of hydrofracking. 9 million metric tons of plastic enter the ocean every year. Incidentally, 50,000 plastic particles are eaten by each of us every year as well. And even though many of us are trying to reduce our plastic use, the production of plastic is still a growth industry. So the question is, what can we do about it? Well, today, we're lucky enough to be joined by Judith Enck, the founder of Beyond Plastics Environmental Campaign and senior fellow at the Center for the Advancement of Public Action at Bennington College. Judith spent 8 years as the Region 2 Administrator at EPA under President Obama. Judith, it's great to have you with us.
Thanks, Susan. Appreciate being on your show.
So it sounds like we're at DEFCON 1 when it comes to plastic pollution. Just how bad is it?
Yeah, it is quite serious. And I think it's one of these issues that people see every day. You walk down the street, you see plastic litter, you see plastic bags in the trees. And I think one reason we haven't seen more progress on climate change, other than the massive influence of the fossil fuel lobby in Washington and Albany, but also because people can't see carbon dioxide. People can see plastic pollution. It's in our neighborhoods, it's in our rivers, our oceans, it's in our bodies, and none too soon in terms of focusing on things that we can do to reduce plastic pollution.
So with the UN Climate Summit coming up and this Friday's youth rally, it's important to hear about the link between plastics and climate change, and I guess there is a direct link.
There really is. Historically, plastics was made from oil and chemicals. Recently, there's been a shift, and it's made from chemicals and a byproduct of hydrofracking called ethane. There are literally hundreds of new manufacturing plants proposed around the country where they would take ethane, a byproduct of fracking, and heat it at really high temperature at a facility called an ethylene cracker plant. Sounds kind of nice, but it's not. And at the ethylene cracker plant, you would manufacture the building blocks of single-use plastic packaging. Those cracker plants will emit massive amounts of carbon dioxide and also air toxics like benzene. So these plants are typically sited in low-income communities of color, so more air toxics and more carbon emissions. In fact, if production grows as currently planned by the plastics industry, by 2030, the emissions from these facilities will be the equivalent of 295 new coal-fired power plants coming online.
And they're still being built, these plants.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's very early, actually. There are a handful that are already operating in Louisiana and Texas, but there are hundreds of new ones proposed in Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia. Only one is actively under construction in Monica, Pennsylvania, where where President Trump traveled a few weeks ago to promote the creation of more plastic. I might add that these are being built with eye-popping levels of federal and state taxpayer subsidies.
Wow. So we're subsidizing the creation of plastic plants that are actually contributing to climate change.
You got it.
That's hard to stomach. So are there manufacturing plants that are still pumping out these single-use plastic bags, the ones that are banned in places like New York, or will be banned March 1st?
Yeah, will be banned. Sure. I mean, there are over 400 plastic bag bans around the country, but that means the majority of communities don't have plastic bag bans. So we have plastic bags being manufactured, polystyrene foam, plastic straws. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I think the reason a lot of businesses use plastic is because it's cheap.
Yeah, it's cheap. And it's almost like something that you can get from recycling fuel oil, right? I mean, if that's one of the things that it's created with.
Well, it is made from
hydrofracking.
Yeah, hydrofracking and chemicals. And then you get the added bonus of you get a little bit of it in your food, in your beverage.
That's exciting.
When you eat it. Yeah, that's for free.
In terms of the ocean, like if you eat fish, you're likely going to be ingesting plastic particles. Isn't that true?
Well, yeah, certain fish. You definitely are ingesting plastic particles if you're eating shrimp, mussels, or oysters. And then in terms of the rest of the fish, it typically shows up in the gut of the fish, which people around the world consume. But there's, you know, new science indicating that it's in fish flesh, which is what we eat. So it's in seafood, it's in our air. If you put like a warm cup of tea in a polystyrene cup, you will get styrene, a probable human carcinogen, in your beverage. And it's, you know, it's the health impacts of plastic food packaging is a growing concern.
There's a common misperception, Judith, that plastic is recyclable, and some of it is, but not all of it is. Can you help us distinguish between the plastic that is and isn't?
Sure. So for decades, the plastics industry peddled this myth. Don't worry about consuming huge amounts of single-use plastic packaging. Just put it in your recycling bin. When during the best of times, only 9% of plastics were recycled worldwide. And recently, China closed its doors to the United States sending any recyclables there. So that 9% number is going to plummet. The only thing you have a fighting chance of getting recycled in your home or business recycling bin is if you look at the bottom of the container, and if it says number 1, number 2, or number 5, put it in your recycling bin. All other plastics you should not put in your recycling bin.
Why is that?
Because it never gets recycled. So you're basically contaminating the load of recyclables.
So it's actually a negative.
It's a strong negative because it messes up the load of recyclables. So we have to dispel the myth that plastics are mostly recycled, because they're not. Rigid plastics, you know, think about detergent bottles, shampoo bottles. Thankfully, we have a nickel deposit on plastic water bottles in New York, and plastics that are part of a deposit system are far more likely to actually get recycled because the material is separated and it's clean.
Right.
So that's why it's so important this legislative session for New York legislators to support Governor Cuomo's proposal to put nickel deposits on non-carbonated beverage containers. The original bottle bill, for some reason, just covered carbonated containers, and then Governor Patterson added water bottles. But now if you reach for a Snapple at a supermarket, which I never do anymore because they have these bizarro ads proudly proclaiming that Snapple is now available in plastic bottles, not glass. So, not a good marketing strategy.
Wrong
but
way.
That Snapple bottle, whether it's glass or plastic, really should be part of New York's very successful bottle bill program, and there should be a deposit on it.
We all know to bring our own bags to the grocery store, but what about when we go to a restaurant and you ask for, you want to bring your leftovers home and they bring you a styrofoam container? Or what about, just the plastic that is shipped to you from L.L. Bean or Amazon?
Yeah, right. Two big issues. So on restaurants, I have been embarrassing my sisters for the last 25 years by bringing my own reusable container to the restaurant when I remember. And then, so that's easy to do.
But soon that'll be cool, Judith.
Yeah, soon.
You're on the vanguard.
Yeah, yes. I'm the squarest woman in America, 25 years ahead of my time. So bring your own containers. But definitely, if you need to get it to go, say you don't want it wrapped in plastic. Where was I? I recently had the most bizarre experience. Oh, it was in Round Lake, where my friend and I didn't want the styrofoam at the restaurant. And so we had this kind of messy, sloshy dish wrapped in aluminum foil instead. They thought we were nuts. But then you bring home the foil, you wash it, you use it many, many times. The bigger issue, though, that you put your finger on is Amazon and other shipping, because so much commerce today for consumer products and food is shipped to us from internet sales. There absolutely has to be some reduction in that plastic packaging and some environmental standards that the New York State Legislature and the governor adopt, and I hope that's something that they will tackle this year.
I'm not too proud to say that I totally ripped this whole segment off from Brian Lehrer on WNYC, where you were on, and they're doing some sort of plastic challenge. We're not doing the challenge, but if you want to, just go to the Brian Lehrer show, and you can figure out how to do that. It's just real quick. You take certain actions, like reduce your, take note of the plastic that you're using, and then try to use something else other than plastic. You also say it's time to take some political action, Judith. What are you talking about?
Well, we need to pass laws in the state legislature or at the local level that dramatically reduces single-use plastic. If we don't do that, we just have no hope of dealing with the climate crisis, with the 9 million metric tons a year of plastic that enter the ocean, the plastic built up in our bodies and in fish and wildlife. So, you know, it's interesting. The California legislature just adjourned last Friday. They passed an amazing array of recycling and source reduction bills. For instance, plastic beverage containers will have to have a minimum recycled content in them. That's a great way to firm up the markets, not allowing those little shampoo and soap containers in hotels. So there's no shortage of good ideas. There is a shortage of political leadership on plastic pollution.
You're recommending something called the plastics trifecta, a ban on styrofoam, a ban on plastic bags with a paper bag fee, and plastic straws only on request. For more information on all of this, go to beyondplastics.org. We've been speaking with the founder of Beyond Plastics, Judith Enck. Thank you again.
My pleasure. Thanks, Susan.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.